everybody. This story that you're about to hear is in the Bible, and we can learn from it. But if you're planning on listening with kids, maybe take a listen yourself first. This story can be found in Genesis chapter 38. Tamar laid aside her widow's clothing and covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and sat beside the road at the entrance to the village of Enaim, which is on the way to Timnah. Judah noticed her as he went by and thought she was a prostitute since her face was veiled. So he stopped and propositioned her to sleep with him, not realizing, of course, that she was his own daughter-in-law. Dun, dun, dun! My name's May.
And my name's Eric. And this is Too Long Didn't Read.
Too Long Didn't Read is an irreverent look at a reverent book. It's a podcast about the Bible. This season, we're uncovering the Bible stories you didn't learn in preschool. These aren't cute. There aren't coloring pages for them. They're violent, weird, scandalous. And they're part of the Bible for a reason. Wonder why? So do we.
So today on Too Long Didn't Read, dead guys, prostitutes in costumes, incest, and twins.
It sounds like there must have been a reason why this woman needed to trick her father-in-law into sleeping with her.
That seems like a no-no. What's going on here? So,
in my mind,
this man, Judah, had three sons, Onan, and Shelah. Tamar, the woman, was married to Okay, this is where the story starts. She wasn't originally Hebrew, you know, so she's already an outsider. And kind of near the start of this story, it just says that was evil and God killed him. It doesn't give us any detail, it just, dead. And so Onan was supposed to produce a child on his brother's behalf. This was a common thing in ancient cultures, not just ancient Israel, but this was a common thing. It was to ensure that the dead, you know, relative's family line would continue. So Onan is supposed to sleep with Tamar and produce an heir for his brother. Here's the problem. Onan knows that if he produces an heir for his brother, that child will get the firstborn's share of the inheritance when his father dies. So he is not at all incentivized to produce an heir for his brother. So what does he do? Happily has sex with his dead brother's wife, but refuses to impregnate her. I mean, essentially what he's doing is he's just taking advantage of her.
Ugh.
Yeah.
What a predatory thing to do.
Yes, exactly.
So she's a widow, so she's grieving that.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows he's not going to fulfill his obligation, and he still goes to bed with her? Good night. So is there any repercussion for him for that?
From his family around him, no. From the culture around him, no. God smacks him down. After God strikes down Onan, Judah says to her, "My youngest son is not old enough to marry yet. Go back and live with your family. Go live with your relatives, and when he's old enough, I'll give him to you in marriage."
He's shelving her.
Yes, in essence.
Like she's not a person. Ugh, that makes me so angry.
It's very much a like, here, go over there, I don't want to have to deal with you.
That makes me really angry.
Here's where the story actually really gets messy. She's back with her relatives and, you know, time passes and she realizes, like, he's old enough now. This isn't going to be a thing. I've just been shoved to the side. She gets word that Judah is heading up from where he lives up to this other place to go shear his sheep. So she goes and sits down, you know, by this little shrine near the road and essentially poses as a shrine prostitute. He comes walking by, doesn't recognize her, and, you know, goes in and has sex with her. And, you know, she negotiates with him in all of this, like, what are you going to pay me? He says, I'll send you a goat from my flock. And, you know, she's pretty savvy in this and says, what are you going to give me almost as collateral so that I know that you're going to, because clearly you're not walking with a goat. You don't have the goat here with you. What are you going to give me? And so he gives her this wax seal and the cord that's attached to it and this staff that he's carrying. And the wax seal would have been, you know, something he stamped documents with. It was in essence like his signature. And then this staff would have been recognized as his.
I see where she's going with this.
Right? Like this is a setup. She has his ID. So, like, she gets pregnant. And, you know, word gets back to Judah that, hey, your daughter-in-law has been sleeping around. She's pregnant now. And he has the audacity to say, like, she should be burned. Like, she's been a prostitute. Like, you know, kill her.
Hypocrite.
Yeah. And so, you know, everybody comes to, you know, come bring her to justice, all this sort of thing. And she goes, this is the stuff of the man who slept with me. Yeah, exactly. And it's like full view of everybody. Like, it is the worst ID hack of all. Like, it is totally that, like, you're the one that did this. So, okay, kill me, but you started it.
So they have produced an heir. Is she back in the family?
So
that makes for some awkward family dinners.
So Judah, you know, maybe for the first time in this whole story, like, actually owns up and says, like, this was my fault. I slept with her. I did her wrong, basically. The interesting thing about it is she's pregnant not just with one kid, but with two.
Twins.
She's pregnant with twins. And the part of the story that in tandem with this is the most interesting is you could read this story kind of out of context and go, there's this, you know, woman that went and had, you know, incited an incestuous affair with her father-in-law. That's all weird. You get the context of the story itself, and it's like you get this kind of self-contained story of justice and the idea that God will provide for the downtrodden. But what makes the whole thing really interesting is if you look in some other parts of the Bible where it has the lineage of different people, King David is from her downline, and therefore so is Jesus. Jesus is a descendant of this affair and of this woman. You know, so this idea that God can look at this situation and go, I can redeem and do my good out of this. So, hearing the whole story, what are your reactions? What do you feel?
I still am really struck by the lack of care for her, and I'm angered by that.
I mean, it's selfishness and greed. For Onan, if she doesn't have an heir, I get more land, I get more wealth.
Right.
If Judah sends her away, it's one less mouth I have to feed. You know, it's a story of men behaving badly. You know, it's not like this was an outsider that had conquered Israel and was doing, like, this. These were Israelite dudes that were supposed to know God, that were supposed to care for people.
Right.
These were God's people behaving badly.
I am struck by the fact that she has to be duplicitous and deceitful, and even still, God blesses her. Then and now, children were a blessing, especially to a widow. So all of this shady behavior and God's response to her is, you get two kids and also you're in the downline of Jesus. That's very gracious and very merciful. Do you ever think about if she hadn't done that, if she hadn't tricked Judah, would she still be a part of the story? Would she still be in the downline? Would there be an even more ridiculously gracious way that he incorporated her? Do you ever think about that?
I do, and I don't know.
I'm thinking about me. I'm trying to relate to this story, and I'm thinking, what are the things? Where are the places where I'm making a decision that is not the best? And 10 years later, someone might say, yeah, you shouldn't have done that. Where am I doing that because I'm unsure that I'll be provided for, or unsure that I'm protected? Because I'm a single woman, and there are times when I feel like I have to take care of myself. So what are the things that I'm doing to kind of wrestle away control from God that if I just let it go, he would provide even more, even better?
Yeah. I think that's a great question. I think that's a great question to ask. That gets into the broader sweep of the biblical story itself. There's a consistent thread throughout the Bible of God's heart being turned towards the poor and the orphan and the widow. To look at stories like this, being somebody who I have no needs. For all intents and purposes, I'm blessed beyond recognition. So where is the poor and the orphan and the widow around me? Who should I be looking at and going, like, I need to care for you, so that in 10 years somebody's not looking at me going, like, you Judah, like, why didn't you care for me?
Should I mansplain?
You should. You absolutely should.
Okay. So we've got a woman, Tamar, married to Ur. He dies. She's supposed to be able to be with Onan, his brother, to have an heir. He neglects his duty. He dies. Then she is sent away, basically shelved. And so she decides to trick the father of the two brothers into sleeping with her by dressing like a prostitute in order to pay her for her services. He gives her his recognizable staff and ring. She gets pregnant. Then when Judah finds out that she's pregnant, he wants to have her killed until she says, "Look what I have. I have your staff and your ring." And then, unsurprisingly, he's more okay with her, and she has twins, and she's provided for.
Yeah.
And this shows us, this cast of unsavory characters, men who don't take care of women, women who dress as prostitutes, fathers-in-law who sleep with their daughters-in-law, all of those guys, they are Jesus's relatives.
Yeah.
So, God uses them and this very reality show situation to build his family and the family that he will have his son, Jesus, born into.
Yep.
And so I don't feel quite so bad about giving a thumbs down to that dude on the highway today.
Definitely don't take our word for it on this story. You can find it in Genesis chapter 38. Definitely read it for yourself. And if this is your first time reading this story, we'd love to know what you think about it. Send us your thoughts to podcasts@crossroads.net.
Also, special thanks to our friend Jacob Durbin for the original music. Find more music from his band Flying Things on iTunes or Spotify. Too Long Didn't Read is a production of Crossroads Church in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm eating jelly beans.
Yeah, it's great.